thank you guys for joining once again. Welcome to the Film Joint. And as we all know, the topic for today is the power of stereotypes in Nollywood. Power of stereotypes in Nollywood. When we were selecting this topic, we wanted something that was broad but also specific. We think that this is an issue that we just kind of gloss over, but we saw that it's something that we just always, deep down, we just always notice. We notice these things, but we've just glossed over them. But today we're going to be discussing these stereotypes, and we have our two star guests. Like I always say, we always try to bring the star guest up, our celebrity guest. And we have Mr. Samuel Ajibola, and we have Mr. Emmanuel Ilemobayo. I didn't butcher the name. I don't know why I thought I was going to butcher the name, so I had to say it.
You should say no butcher the name.
I don't butcher anything. It made sense in Yoruba now. It's how that I found blessing now or something.
Ask the name, to be sure.
All right. So I'm sure you guys, I'm sure you guys know our guest. You've probably seen them in some movies. So I'm just going to let them kind of introduce themselves to us.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Sam Ajibola, I'm here. Good to be here again.
My name is Emmanuel Ilemobayo. I'm an award-winning international actor and a model. So I'm a filmmaker. Basically, everything about me is about art. So when you're looking for definition of an art, so you've seen somebody like that. I'm one of your guest speaker tonight. Thank you for having me.
All right, nice. Thank you for being with us. So usually what we do before we get into the topic itself, we usually ask our guests, because just to tell us their journey so far, how they started in the industry, how from when they started and where they are now. So I don't know who wants to go first.
My own journey, I started, first of all, I started modeling. I started modeling 2005-06. So if you all know when the runway was it in Nigeria and across Africa, then but in Nigeria, when runway was the main thing. Like, yeah, the movie thing was going on, but I actually wanted to act, but I don't know where to go, because I just go back to Nigeria 1990. I got back to Nigeria 1995, and all those stuff like that. So so I go back, and people are like, because of my height, and because of my dress, then so people are like, you should model, you should act, you should model. So in my church, I started, we started a drama group in my church. Believe me, honestly, I became the star actor that I'm talking about between this 1995. So the church I was attending then, so 1995, 96, 97, thereabout. Like, so we started this drama group, and they just took me in because they love my, I like to get involved in anything creative. So, and then I became a star actor. And before you know it, I was a drummer in my church. So, and different churches then, whenever we go to any crusade, they want us to perform, they want us to act. So I was going across Lagos, other churches then, as in big churches then, I'm talking about the biggest, we mentioned biggest churches then in 1999 to 2000, thereabout. I mean, they invite me to come and be part of their own drama group. So it was going like that. Then 2005-06, I hope we all remember the time when Idol go hold that Omar Omi and my guy Timi Dakolo won. So I remember then I went for that audition because then I got like, okay, I could sing, you know. And then it was crazy, right? It was my turn because, of course, Timmy has gone in and all this. So we saw by then, Oma Umi has gone. Oma Umi was actually in my front. She went in when they were like, call. So why it was my turn, then I said, number 200 and something. Then I just saw a pretty lady when I talk, hey, hi, hi, hi. Then and I saw somebody, I just heard a conversation like, we should go to National Theater. Believe me, honestly, the bodyguard that was guiding the thing, it was like, boss, yes, yeah, yeah, let's go, let's go, let's go. I was like, hold on, hold on, hold on. I just handed my number to him and I followed those people. We went to National Theater. So we went to National Theater. I just won an audition for a Nollywood, Hollywood film, you know, that they're going to be doing that. So I went there, like a Samuel, my colleague, my friend. Samuel is not just a colleague, it's a good friend. You know, if you know back then, yes, National Theater, we got information. But Winnie's, oh, Lord of mercy. Winnie's and then Rita Lori Hotel back then, if you know this, you will know that short, that is where auditions comes out and you will go there. Even when you don't even pass, they will tell you audition will come out and so the final or tentative cast list will come so time. So you will go there, you may looking at your name, that your name is among maybe 120, 200 and something. You're already happy that I started as a teenager. And my first film was a short film. I played a doctor and my first play was Fanta and Donuts. So that's crazy. Then I was going. Then I have the privilege of meeting some biggest Nollywood actors. Then I was in my secondary school. I met G. Mike, Ramsey Noah, then the legendary Uncle RMD. You know, then Lagos was in teen and all this. So, but the church I was going to, I'm willing to say this, in terms of my music saying, yes, okay, church boy, you're good. But they were like, how can you? You know, sometimes you come to realize that thing. When then I was staying with a pastor. So I have a very, very challenging time to go for auditions. So I was discouraged. I need to tell you the people this. I was co-hosting a program on Galaxy TV then. Not now. When Galaxy TV was Galaxy TV, I'm talking about 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, like five. I used to interview, you know, back then, the Two-Face, you know, the Two-Face, the Shina, major top to artists then. I was a co-host. So when the people started watching, the host, the program was called Hip Hop African, Hip Hop World. So that was the program on Galaxy TV then. So our producer then, may also rest in peace. So then all this was happening because I just wanted to express myself acting. So I was getting offers because when I go to audition, right, this guy, you good? Okay, you know what, we'll get back to you, you know. And then I remember people started telling me, okay, guy, change your name to maybe just call it Emma B. So, you know, when I say, what's your name, Emmanuel Mubayo? When I hear that Emmanuel Mubayo, someone will understand what I'm saying then because of some certain people that were making the movie. So, you know, they were like, okay, you need to come from the part of this region before you can be considered. You know, I was having those heartbreaks. You know, of course, I was slim then. They were like, okay, you're good, okay. I said, Nori, I can't change my name. But I'll just keep going, featuring one or two things. Then I remember 2005, when Wale Adenuga Production, they were looking for another actor to cast for Alinko. You know, I remember then my number was 500 and something. So we went. I remember then I met a friend. Ah, Daniel, shout out to you if you're listening to this. The guy, I was broke. Daniel went to look for money. He went out. He said, guy, I believe in your dream. Go for it. So I went for that audition. I'm gonna say this because that encourages me a lot and encourage me. And they were auditioning on they auditioned all the guys from that about 400 and something, they pinned us down to three. From three, everybody was started calling me in Alinko. From three, they pinned us down to two. It was now between me and then Victor. Victor, the one playing Alinko presently. At the end of the day, Mr. Chairman himself, that is Uncle Wale Daddy Wale Adenuga. So you know, I say, okay, guy, you are a fantastic actor. You are going to do something for us. We can't just allow you to go like that. So this is it. Like, we needed somebody that have that ogre. What did they call ogre in English? Backhead, kind of. So he said, you don't have that ogre. So this other person has it. If not, we could have taken you. Say, but we are going to be doing something. Yeah, you guys are going to be. We are going to create a story, because he actually said that. And at the end of the day, I wasn't even threatening like, Alinko is going to get it, but because through then I told the guy, because when he was going in, I said, guy, you will get this role. The guy look at me with your performance that I saw. No, this is the conversation. I don't know, maybe he will remember this. I said, guy, you will get this role. I said, believe me. I said, there's something inside of me. And the guy look at me, he hugged me. I said, you're going to get it. So when we go inside, it's like they are confused, that they don't even know who to take, and all those stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm glad that he got that role. And so they created a special character for me that I stare in Papa Ajah School then, 2005, 2006. And you know one thing about, if you feature in one of the series in Wale Adenuga, you can't feature in another series because they don't like to recycle actors. But do you know what? I was shuttling between Super Story and also Papa Ajah School. So then fast forward, it was going. Then I remember 2006, I featured in a movie called Twisted. The producer name is Eniyi Towolawi. The character that I play, Big Brother Africa then. You know, that's some feature in that film. You know, and you have Yemi Brennan, Yemi Branch, Memuna Yahaya, Femi Branch, and he acted then. So I remember my character. When I went for the audition, the producer now, he stays live in US and UK, he doesn't want to do the sentiment things. So he just wants somebody that can deliver that that role and everything. I got it. I remember that they used UPS to send my script to me. I remember that after negotiation, they sent me to buy some certain clothes. I was feeling fly, like, I was just telling myself, me that I have not even become any face in the Nollywood. Wow, they are doing this. Something like this to Nollywood go be. So after that, 2007, I was enjoying that momentum. It was crazy. 2008, 2007, 8. Believe me, it was crazy. I left the industry in 2008, 2009, because it was terrible. So then I was doing one or two films. Not that I left totally, but I left to go work on myself, to build myself as a good actor. And then by 2009, I do one or two films. By 2010, yes, I was like coming back gradually. By 2013, I came back. I did a short film called One Chance, Make a Majority. That was what birthed the Jonathan, because it was a political stuff. And that killed me everywhere I go. Look at, so it was, the audition was done for 3 days. They brought a South African Nigerian actor to come and play my character. It was me and Blossom. So But my character, they casted the guys. Imagine almost about 500 and something. Now I don't think they are in existence again. The people that produced that short film there, it's called a communication for change. You know, and yeah, if you remember them, so Faso, we did that short film. I was started coming 2013. I didn't look back. From before you know it, I feature in some series and some film. Then fast forward, then I was also part of the Johnsons. I played Mohammed before I left the Johnsons. Some couple of films. I'm rushing because I know a lot of that can get into that. So after that, it was a beautiful journey. Then by 2015, I won my award as Fast Rising Actor of the Year. By 2016, I was Hip TV top 20 actor to watch out for, you know, recognition, like that. And then till now, so now I feature in Oluture. And then recently, this year, I feature in a African Magic Showcase a series called Itura, and I play one of the prominent role, Agbako. So that is my journey so far. Though, that's my journey so far.
Thank you very much, Mr. Emmanuel. Thank you guys for joining in. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Film Joint. My name is Don Intekim Rex. What we just did was just to introduce our guests and ask them about their journey so far. Thank you for people just joining us. I can see Mr. Frank Dongard here with us. Thank you for joining us. And so we're going straight into the main topic and main issue why we're here. So yeah, the power of stereotypes in Nollywood. I think this topic has different aspects. I think I'm going to split it for the purpose of this discussion. I'm going to split it into like different two. So there's the aspect of stereotypes in Nollywood as in terms of stories that have become stereotypes. So stories, characters, circumstances, these are things that become stereotypes that we've seen in Nollywood. And then we also have, actors being stereotyped in a way, so you have actors that kind of continuously play a particular role, and they can't come out of that because, the topic is the power of stereotypes in Nollywood. So it's not just about within the story, but also how it affects, stereotypes and how it affects actors and people within the film industries. So I listed some stereotypes, that I'm really, really tired of seeing. And one is the wicked mother-in-law. Personally, I think Nollywood is advancing, and maybe they are realizing that some of these things are bad. But I think the wicked mother-in-law, and it's not just wicked mother-in-law. I think wicked mother-in-law, the mother-in-law is just always the cause of issues. So it's either the mother-in-law is a witch or the mother-in-law is just oppressing people. I don't know. I don't think that's a very, very strong narrative. So we have, the wicked mother-in-law, or the Hausa man being the gates man, and then, Calabar people, or no Calabar, what am I saying, Calabar people? Calabar ladies being a house girl, right? Those are my like top three. So, but what I want to ask our guests now is that, what are these stereotypes that you are tired of seeing, and how do you think they have affected the society? Like, what would you say is your top three stereotypes that in terms of story and circumstances, but and how you think they are really affecting us as an industry or and as a society.
So yes, it's a beautiful thing that you listed this one. Like most, you know, our film is evolving, and then we are changing the narrative gradually, but it's not that easy because most of our films have been made to design people's mind towards the view of what film's all about. So they have built that into their consciousness. So, and it has been there for a while. So for that to go off, it's going to take concerted effort from the other emerging filmmakers to change their narratives, and they are changing it gradually. So that being said, so don't check most of our films. A whole lot of stereotypes you see, a backstabbing or no. So whenever you watch most of our epic, you must see that the Onowu is backstabbing or is conniving. You know, you must always see that. Or you see a poor virgin girl who suddenly, as time goes on, then become the queen or the prince or marry. So you see a poor girl, a supposedly pretty poor girl, then he bump into a rich guy, and then the next thing is love mattered, and then the romantic journey began, then they marry, or a poor guy who is a hunter or is a farmer, then you bump into the princess, or you know, something like a princess or a wealthy person, and the next thing is you know that at the end of the day they are going to be a lover and they're married. So you see that often and often, and which is not supposed to be. Those are a lot of stereotype things that we filmmaker we are talking about to change. We are fighting against. Or another thing you see is that for every Akwaibom mind or people from that region, there must be a gate man and they must be funny. So, or you see somebody, or their lady being a housemaid always. So, or you will see, mother in law. Who is, if she's not a witch, she's been wicked. If she's not wicked, it's a relative. Either she's oppressing, either she's over commanding, or you see a rich husband who is always getting drunk, sort of. So the list is enormous. So these are the things we don't want to see in our films again. So, and that is what we are trying to discuss today, that how can we change this? How can we do? So,
as you were talking, I was asking myself, we have, you know, these films, they come out there, people write scripts, people write stories, and then do you think there's a moral obligation or moral burden on some of these actors or filmmakers in general to be like, nah, this story, I don't like this, the way this is put, it shouldn't be like this. Why is this wicked woman? Because this is it. I think at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, story and how you want to portray the story. But then sometimes we see that some of these things, because they are stereotypes, they're just there. You know, we just need the wicked stepmother. We just need the wicked mother-in-law. We need that there. We just need the Hausa man, that the gate man, to have the stereotype. You know, those things are just kind of there. you ask yourself, if you are given that script, that has that stereotype, do you take the role or you say, nah, I'm not going to pander to this narrative and do the role? But
first of all, script is not just about script. Script is a storyline, you know, that's trying to tell maybe about people culture, people way of life. So that is what film depict. So that is why we have stories. So, and any story that doesn't do justice to that, it's not sending any message. So when you see all those kind of story, it's not left for the, like you say, as an actor, since it's a stereotype things, do you want to do it or you don't want to do it? So it's an individual choice. So now, look, because when you get, it's not just about the character. First of all, you get the script, then you read the story back and forth. Then you ask yourself, this, in quotes, this is a stereotype character. What message is it passing? If it's passing a positive message, why playing that bad or stereotype character? Be it good or bad stereotype character. So if it's passing a positive, an educative, or an enlightening message across to the viewers, of course, you can go ahead. But if it doesn't pass any of those eye-opening or any positive message, then no matter the amount or no matter the compensation, you just walk away from it. Because if it's not, you are also help contributing to the problem of that storyline.
Yes, but in line with what you said, you know, just thinking about it, because you said something before when you started your sentence, you were like, it's the script or it's about, you know, what happens in reality. And if what happens in reality is what is being shown, you know, do you really think they are stereotypes? So I'm asking myself, some of these stereotypes, do you think they are actually stereotypes or they are actually things that happen in our society? Because to be fair, or maybe it's in my mind, or maybe it's actually the stereotype that has actually caused that, this is my mindset that, or whatever I'm going to say right now. Because to be fair, you realize that a majority of or maybe not a majority, many gay men are, in fact, you know, what's it called, Hausa men. So would you then blame, you know, a writer or a filmmaker that decides to put, you know, a Hausa person as gay man? You know, do you think there are some stereotypes that are not actually stereotypes, but just plain old depiction of what our reality is?
This is it. That's stereotype that not stereotype. So why there's some stereotype that stereotype? Now look at, okay, you say something like, okay, now let's go back. Now, in the 90s, the 20s, and then to this later 20s. In the 90s, who are the gatemans? It's not the Akwa Ibom minds. It's share across. Then in the 20s, the same thing. It's not the Akwa Ibom minds, or the Yorubas, or the Hausas, or the Igbos. So I could tell you that in the mid 20s, it was most actually the Igbos, but because of most of the filmmakers in the 90s, because of that sentiment, things like, okay, hey, we don't want to portray our own people So they are not, most of them, let's say in the 90s, are not real-time filmmakers. Most are just business people that just came into the film industry. They just want to make movie because they just want to make instant money. So, and because of that, they trying to portray their own people, boss in quotes. So it just like if you watch in if you see the Jew in any part of the world, you can't see a Jewish man being a messenger. You can't see a Jewish person being a gateman or being a cleaner, because the Jews, they occupy highly position in every economy of the world. So if you make your research, so come back. So day two, day two, they were like, okay, you know what? Our people cannot be a gateman. Out of, okay, if you make like five movies, you can say, okay, our people can be a gateman in one. So it's an act that was deliberate. So they now subject other region, portray them as always gateman. So it's come on the acceptable norm that from this region, they are always mage. They must always be gateman. They must always be errand boy. They must always be this and that. But from this other region, they must be the chief. They must be the chief executive of a company. They must be the manager. They must be the CEO. They must be the finance people. They must be the major people doing the lover boy, all that. But why all of that other regions tribe? They tend to like place them to be the minority. So it's now changing. So now cast your mind back to 20s, which is later 20s that we are right now. You find out that most of the films, you see the house has been a great man, and that is the reality. So which like now, so if you say this time around now, so it can be justifiable that if you see like a 10 houses right now, the house has that are great man, they are like six to say slide that to six. So it's not just the Hausas. There are other tribes that look like the Hausas. You have the Nigerians. We call it the Nigerians. We have older the Malians. So, but because the Hausas, old, they do not think is the Hausas. So you can see now that. So we have other influx of other countries, other migrants that come in to take all the those lesser role. So they now inculcate them in the film and make them the prominent stereotype person that are once you see a house, technically or automatically the gateman must be an house person. So certain people who are not filmmakers, who are just businessmen, they just come into the industry, start making film and start projecting those stereotype people to make it look like that is the reality. And most time, film is about, yeah, we know, we tell you film is 70% fiction and 30% reality. Somebody can write his script now that talks about the insurgency. And then everything can be fictional. But when you watch it, you find out that 90% of what is happening them are reality. So, and that is what film is all about. That's why I say film is not just film. Or movie is life. Just like they say, without music, life, there won't be no life. So that is my story there.
So I just want to quickly, you know, shift a bit. And that's in terms of now, in terms of as an actor.
Okay.
Because I know that some actors have just been stereotyped into particular roles and all. How do you break out of being stereotyped as an actor?
Okay. Oh, beautiful. I love that. Now, I'll use myself as an example. Prior to when I was doing, playing different kind of roles, then a doctor, a lover boy, a friend, all those. So I used to play, should I say, funny. So most of the film that they love to feature me, then they're like, oh, this guy is funny. So, you know, this guy is funny because any character you put me in, I'm always fitting. If you say play a policeman, I could remember then that some series, then, believe me honestly, it was like this guy, you always fit police role. Funny thing, then gate man, you know. Then I only play a houseboy all my life in the film industry. I've only played just, a houseboy once. So either I'm playing a gate man, a police, an errand boy, or so people start giving me role based on that because they consider this person funny and they can deliver. So, and I told myself, like, and I studied the industry that most people that have been stereotyped into that, they don't last long. Max, maybe 5 years, or after 5, 6, 7, 10 years, they become irrelevant. So, and how did I break myself out? I took a break. I told myself, fine, I was getting, yes, you get good money. But at the end of the day, it's like you are just cutting your career lifespan short. Now, and I say, okay, how do I break out of this? And so that people can see that I am a round character, that I can play any kind of role you give me. To break, I say I'm not going to accept any scripts that have to deal with police, that have to deal with gate man, or that have to do with some kind of errand boy, so that I will say sorry, no. I will ask, what other role that's not funny? What other role that may be serious that, okay, they can, they were like, oh, okay, this one, this person, okay, sorry, I'm not going to do that. Affected me, it make me sort of like not being recognized as an actor anymore, because that was why when I told you guys that I left the industry 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, then I came back 2011. So I took that break and I took that effort. Like, it was very painful, but because I want to show to people that I could become, it's not just I could become, like, I am a round character, I could play any other character you gave me. And today it's paying off. It's paying off because I remember there was a producer that was coming back from UK. She just called me like, Emmanuel, I'm watching you right now. I said, I can't believe it. This is what she said. Like, Ima, you mean say you feel play a lover boy? No. He said, really? I was like, how do you mean? He said, you know, now you mean come on, so the thing they watch you now, comedy now, we are funny and all those stuff. I said, yeah. I said, but right now, I have make myself to be the James Bond of Africa. So, like, and that's why most people now be the same, they call me James Bond, you know, stuff, because I make that effort and it's paying off. So imagine if I have not take that concerted effort to break myself out of that stereotypical kind of role or character. By now, at least, I will be endorsing a lot of global and some kind of big brand in terms of comedy and so, but I found out that, no, I don't want to be that. Let me be a character. Mm. I want to leave a mark. I want to tell people. And it's people that, some director, some producer that know me then, they started giving me a serious role that are not comedy. Role that I like one of the movie that the Renegade. I played three characters in one. And Renegade, I was an assassin. I was a lover boy, and I was a businessman. In the morning, I am a businessman. You know, afternoon, there by evening, I became a lover boy. Then in the night, I am an assassin. So, and it was an amazing when the producer told me, like, wow, I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm be telling people that you can do stuff like this. He said, right now, he said, I bet on your head, and you did not disappoint me. So it has paid off for me. because I worked for my, I work on myself, because I remember then there was a director in Africa Magic. He said, guy, you are too slim. We know if he give you, you are a good actor. We know if he, we can, we know if he give you lead role because you slim. Go and work on your life. And again, in a comedy team, they're going to give you all this kind of. I took that as a challenge. And today, as they say, the best is what? History. So that is the best thing to do to break out of that as an actor, because if not, when they stereotype you, you won't grow more than that. And before you know it, you will lose your grant, you will lose your value, and other people will take over your space. So if you check in the industry, we know a whole lot of our colleagues, both senior and people that will started that are comedy, or let me say comedy, either by playing a bad guy or playing a lover boy or playing a or you know, all those kind of stereotype role. Today, if you ask yourself, 95% of them now are no longer relevant, because other people too have come to take over that stereotypical kind of role, and cycle is continuing. So to get yourself out of, you have to make that effort. Like, even though you're going to stay off for 1 year, you will not die. I'm a living example. So that's all I would say.
All right, thank you very much, Emmanuel.